Welcome back to FinTalk, brought to you by Vermeg. Here we discuss pressing topics in fintech, regtech, covering regulatory, collateral and digital across banking, insurance and finance. Vermeg has been proud to deliver innovative software solutions in these industries with stability and cost efficiency for global roster of clients. With over 20 years of trusted transformation in finance and insurance, we're bringing industry's top expertise to FinTalk. I'm Jared Akhtar and I'll be your host for this podcast. Let's kick off. Today, I'm lucky to have my colleague with me, Ferdy Pilan. I'll let Ferdy introduce himself and give him a few bits about what he does at Vermeg.
Hi, Jared. Thanks very much for having me. Yeah, I'm Ferdy Pilan. My background is I've spent over 10 years at various global exchange groups, including sort of Euronext, Life, as it was called at the time, NASDAQ and CME. At banks, including JP Morgan Security Services, and then infrastructures and vendor space, including D2CC. I've joined Vermeg about 7 months ago and deeply involved with the sales efforts in the UK and Nordics, especially in relation to asset servicing, collateral management, and digital transformation.
Fantastic. Thank you, Ferdy. So today we're talking about the new changes in the European markets, and it's around the Eurosystem Collateral Management System, otherwise known as ECMS. I know as Vermeg, we're doing a lot around this topic. So Ferdy, I know you're leading this initiative from the UK. Can you quickly tell our listeners what actually ECMS is?
Yeah, sure. So it's the, as you said, it's a Eurosystem Collateral Management System. And it's basically a brand new unified system for managing assets, which will be used by all 19 Eurozone central banks from November 2023. I do specify that Eurozone, so for instance, Denmark or Sweden, which are in the EU but don't use the Euro, would not be affected in phase one. It's the 19 Eurozone central banks. And effectively, the way to think about this is that at the moment, all these 19 national central banks, so when a commercial bank in, say, Germany borrows money from the central bank to then lend out to corporations and for individuals for mortgages or car loans or what have you, at the moment, each of these 19 Eurozone central banks will have their own system, their own eligibilities, their own haircuts. So first and foremost, think of this as a unification and harmonization exercise where all these 19 ones will be replaced by one system. Here at Vermeg, we were very lucky to actually be mandated to build this system. So all of these, the technology that powers this one unified system for all 19 of the Eurozone central banks will be the ECMS system as designed and produced by Vermeg. Yeah, and then finally, what I'd say for that, and many listeners will be aware of that, it's part of the wider T2S initiative, Target to Securities, which is about ensuring that cash, securities and collateral flow freely across Europe. So this is one element of that wider initiative that will effectively make it easier for banking participants within the Eurozone to obtain funding from their local national central bank.
Thanks, Ferdy. So just kind of summarizing on that, there's at the moment, there's what can we can call it like a fragmented and decentralized system at the moment in Europe. And there's, you know, there's so many firms involved in this. And the idea of this is really to kind of harmonize the whole, the movement of collateral between all those entities.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So it is therefore, rather than, you know, just another sort of regulation-led or in this case, more sort of infrastructure or ECB infrastructure-led, people should really think about this as a sort of leveling up. It should make life easier. After this has been implemented, larger banking groups who may operate banking licenses in multiple Eurozone countries will just have to deal with one system, one set of haircuts and eligibility lists. Equally, a bank which is expanding into another country and wanting to operate a local banking license there to be able to have the widest reach amongst their clients won't have to make any system changes. So while there's a short-term, I guess you'd call it pain, of just being ready for it, once you're ready for it, it becomes very easy within that Eurozone to obtain liquidity from the national central bank in whichever Eurozone country that bank is operating in.
Yeah, you're right in what you say. With any new regulation, there's always pain. But it's what you see after that. I mean, for the market, as a market participant, to have a single system managing the pool of assets is kind of makes it operationally a lot more fluid.
Yes, I would agree.
Just to kind of touch upon that now, you know, you've kind of spoken about who is impacted. Can you kind of give me an idea of actually, yeah, who is impacted? What do people need to do now? I mean, you know, this is something new for people. What can they do?
So just also to summarize about when a bank is affected, to really cut it down to its most simplest form, any bank which runs a banking license in the Eurozone is potentially affected. They are heavily affected if they regularly rely on national central bank funding within the Eurozone. But even, say, a so-called, sometimes called Brexit entity, say you're a UK bank, and because of Brexit, they're now operating a banking license in, say, Germany or Paris or Amsterdam, they would still need to demonstrate to the local regulator that they can take funding in extreme market conditions. So at the very least, they need to ensure that they are ready for ECMS and able to interact with it, even if today in their liquidity mix, they don't rely on central bank funding. There may well be extreme conditions where they at least need to demonstrate that they can. So that, just to reiterate, you're affected if you run a banking license in any of the Eurozone countries. In terms of what people need to do then, so I think it all starts with an impact assessment or health check, which is just understanding that because some of the core standards are changing, and notably the ISO 20022 SWIFT message will be the standard used by ECMS. It's the only message it will accept and the only message it will send out. So people need to do an impact assessment health check. Is the desk that operates with the central bank in Eurozone countries able to do that and to route these payment instructions in a way that's compliant? Some market practices are changing around corporate actions and cutoff times. They're going to be standardized, but obviously that might mean that in the country that you operate in, it's different. So I guess what people need to do is, and what I'm finding in speaking to prospects and clients, many do appoint a project team, which then either with the help of a partner, like a consultancy, does an impact assessment or health check. Here at Vermeg, we can also help people either point them to one of our preferred partners or indeed use some professional services capacity. But to do that impact assessment health check, once that's done, it's really making the project, getting the delivery project, getting solutions in place, and ultimately some testing ahead of this change in November. And I think that's the key message, to unlock the benefits. It's one thing doing the minimum, just so you know that if you need to, you can interact with it. But the most exciting conversations are those with clients where they actually look at this as unlocking benefits, where because it's becoming so easy now to get funding from a Eurozone central bank, as in the operational process becomes easy, their liquidity mix might need to be recalibrated. So there's after that impact assessment is done and the project has been done and there's plans there for testing, then comes the exciting bit, which is, you know, how can we unlock these benefits and how is it actually going to improve my my sort of liquidity mix and the speed with which I can service my clients.
So Ferdy, thanks for that. And that's really interesting. Can you give me some real world examples?
Yeah, sure. So from, you know, we've had a lot of conversations both in the build up to the design of our product, Easy Collateral. And obviously, as we've been building the actual ECMS system, but more on the Easy Collateral solution later. Say, for instance, that you're a Japanese or an American bank, and you've got an entity in the UK and you're running a banking license within the Eurozone. You may be mainly relying on funding from either Japan or, if you're an American bank, from the US. How do you obtain euros? Often they go to capital markets. However, now that they run a Eurozone license, they could go to the National Central Bank, say whether it be Germany or the Netherlands or France or any of the other Eurozone countries, and actually obtain funding there for the central bank rate. So it's not so much a challenge as a question to ask, really, that these projects, now that people are needing to allocate some resources to looking at their central bank funding to at the very least demonstrate that they're able to do it, it's also an opportunity to say, actually, so yeah, should we do it? Or can we do it? And secondly, maybe we should, or indeed, maybe we shouldn't. But so that's one of the challenges, to look at that mix. And I've seen in conversations I'm having, most of the time, say you're an American bank, they will get funding from the American Central Bank, from the Fed. They may get, if they're running an entity in the UK for many years, they may get some from the Bank of England, but they often haven't really asked themselves, should that NCB funding in the Eurozone be part of the mix, or should it be recalibrated now that it's becoming operationally a lot easier to get it? Same example for a British bank, you know, who has historically relied on Bank of England funding, obviously, but now because of Brexit has a Eurozone entity and is also running on the back of that license outstanding loans and therefore non-marketable assets, say corporate loans from their Dutch entity to all over Europe corporates, or indeed high net worth individuals or what have you. And so they've got outstanding loans, so-called non-marketable credit claims, which they could actually post to the NCB and obtain a credit line for that. So that's, I guess, a question that they need to ask themselves, can we and should we, is that the most effective way to get funding, or should I continue to rely on one main central banking relationship to get funding and then go to the capital markets to change my pounds into euros? And those are really the most exciting conversations where, as the conversation progresses and I'm speaking to the right person in, say, Treasury or top of house or operational level, where clients are starting to think, do we have the optimal liquidity mix given that things are changing in November 23? And the situation I have today might be good for today, but to stay competitive, I may need to recalibrate. So I would say challenges are obviously checking that all the industry standards and the market practices and that my ISO payment systems are correct. And then questions I'm asking myself is, what should that future state look like once my solution is implemented? So hopefully those are some of the real world examples there that come to mind.
Yeah, that's really interesting, actually, just to kind of understand that and put that more into concept of what it looks like for clients' firms and things like that. You mentioned something I just want to pick up on, easy collateral.
Yeah.
Can you tell me more? I'm interested.
Yeah, sure. So Vermeg was very proud to be mandated, and it's very much led by Banque de France and the Spanish Central Bank, to make the Euro system, you know, the ECMS system, to actually build the technology associated with that. So we have all the knowledge in-house. We've actually leveraged that by offering what we call a digital app called Easy Collateral, which allows a client to see a dashboard where they can see their total exposure to their NCB, National Central Bank, and the available credit line based on their posted assets. This information we get from ECMS, which we've built, so that the client has 100% comfort that that is accurate, to see their total position within ECMS, the requirements for the day. So say I'm in Treasury and I look at the start of the day, I go, okay, these are the assets I've posted, both non-marketable assets and marketable assets with my local central bank. This is my available credit line. This is the credit I expect to require for my working day. And is there a shortfall? If there is a shortfall on that same dashboard, I can see my total inventory. So we would work with clients and partners to get linked in as a sort of overlay, to get linked into their available inventory with their custodian or with range of custodians or however they service and keep their assets, to have that real-time inventory. And then we apply the valuation and eligibility lists of ECMS, again, providing 100% comfort because we're the other side of the technology. We operate these eligibility and valuation models. So giving the client that 100% comfort that not only can they see their inventory, but they can see the valuation of the eligible assets. So to give it a rough example, 100 million in assets in my inventory might translate to 65 million worth of available credit line if I were to post those assets to the central bank. Some would be ineligible. And if they are eligible, they might be marketable or non-marketable, which would affect the haircut, as in the safety margin that the central bank would apply to say, for every 10 euros worth of this, I will give you 7 or 8 or indeed 6. So once we've looked at that inventory, done the valuation and eligibility check. Then we get to the asset selection part, and that's automated. So the client here has the option, either rely on our automated cheapest to fund hierarchy, where we start with the non-marketable assets, the so-called cheapest to fund, really. These are assets that you can't post anywhere else. These are literally a portfolio of car loans or mortgages and what have you, which are less securitized, are not marketable. So we would start with those. Then we go to the marketable assets. We would work with ratings from the ratings agencies, again, to get that cheapest to fund a hierarchy. And we would automatically, so you could literally, with the press of a button, we could run that asset selection, rule-based asset selection, and generate the payment messages that then actually move these assets to where they need to be, whether that's through tri-party or an actual payment to the central bank to unlock that credit line. Now, that can be done manually. So the bank may not want to leave it to our rule-based automation and could either manually or indeed plug in their own proprietary optimization tool. And again, we would recommend people work with their technology partners there. We're very happy to work with consultants or in-house specialists on that. What we provide is the software, right? So you know that all the parameters are correct, the haircuts and eligibility. We know that the technology is there for connectivity. So really, to summarize, easy collateral offers connectivity, turnkey connectivity, pre-validation and valuation before you do every post of collateral. You already know the credit line you're going to unlock. A real-time view on your inventory for the right valuation, and then this optimized asset selection and allocation, and then the activation in the right format, these ISO 20022 messages. Finally, what I would say is we also have an optional digital app called Exchanger, which means it's a quick fix. If today your ISO payment infrastructure isn't in the right standard, we have an Exchanger that will translate non-ISO 20022 messages into ISO 20022 messages. So both for outgoing payments and incoming messages, we can, as a quick fix, enable clients to be compliant with that correct payment standard. So that's one option in terms of implementing Easy Collateral using the Exchanger. That's the quickest and easiest, and we've got that available. Another one is, of course, to do the slightly heavier lift and actually go into your proprietary existing systems, whether they be proprietary or vendor provided, and make those changes on a case-by-case basis, which typically involves a more elaborate project. But then, of course, you're completely future-proof. So we can leave that up to the client. So in summary, yeah, you get the connectivity, that pre-validation and valuation, that optimization, and the activation of being able to actually generate these messages and get your collateral to the central bank and get your credit line.
Thank you for that. And as a listener, and with all that information, there's two things I want to know. A, when's the drop deadline? Because, you know, there's going to be a date that everything needs to go live by. And then what do I need to do? You know, if I've got any questions, where do I go? Who do I ask? So it'll be quite interesting just to let me, as a listener, and I've learned a lot here as well, what's next?
So to start with the deadline, November 23 will be a big bang, okay? There's no phased approach like we've seen with some other infrastructure changes. Everyone will migrate on that day. Testing will commence end of Q1. Of 23, which means really, when I speak to clients, people have now formed their project team. So I guess to your question, what do I need to do? As a bank, you would either already have appointed a project team, and if not, this is the time to do that. And that project team would then work with either internal resourcing or partners to do this health check impact assessment first and foremost, devise a solution. And are they going to use, for instance, a provider like us for Easy Collateral, or you might choose to build something yourself, and then to obviously deliver that and be ready to test. And that will be probably about February time, 2023, when we expect that testing to open. But in terms of the nearest deadline, I would say by Q3 of this year, you would need to have made good headway to the point where it would be wise to be able to already demonstrate to the National Central Bank that you are well on track to be able to partake in testing in Q1. And of course, that hard deadline of November 23. So to put that in real world sort of next steps, people can reach out to us at Vermeg. You know, any of us, I'm always happy to speak to people. We have various for existing clients. They will have their account manager, relationship managers there, or indeed speak to your preferred partner, technology partner, whether that's a consultancy or whether you use internal SMEs. But that really is the very next step, is to see where you are with that impact assessment health check and have at least determined what needs to be done and that you're starting to schedule the resourcing to do that. So I would say all the conversations I'm having nowadays are in that phase of either they're doing the impact assessment or they've just done it and it's planning for the delivery and it's budgeting, you know, it's things like that. And I guess where we can help with Easy Collateral is prevent people from having to reinvent the wheel, because we've made ECMS, it's very turnkey, right? You don't then have to worry about getting the right haircuts, eligibility lists. We will actually be partnering with a global data provider, where at the moment we can't announce this yet, you know, so that each client through Easy Collateral will get that real-time valuation of their marketable assets using one of the top rating agencies. So having that comfort that both for marketable assets, the valuation is correct, the correct haircut is applied, the correct eligibility lists are applied. So I would say speak to us first if you don't want to reinvent the wheel, but obviously people can make their own choices in that regard. But I would say at least this is the time to start that health check impact assessment.
Perfect. Thank you, Ferdy. That's been really interesting. I know ECMS is a completely new subject to a lot of our listeners. This will be brand new. I've learned a lot, and I'm hoping that our listeners have equally learned so much more. And if there's anything that the guys need, or anyone else needs, please feel free to reach out to us. Thank you for your time, Ferdy.
My pleasure, Jamad.
As always, it's been a pleasure. And thank you to our listeners. And until next time, goodbye.